Welcome to Cypherpunk Notes, where we explore digital privacy and sovereignty, not just the how, but the why. Whether you're just starting to question big tech or you're ready to encrypt everything, this is your guide to taking back control of your digital life. Your operating system is watching you. Every search you make, every application you open, every file you access, every website you visit. Windows sends telemetry data back to Microsoft, and there's no way to fully turn it off. You can install all the privacy tools you want. But if your operating system is hostile, you're building on a compromised foundation. We've reached a turning point in the series. Up until now, everything we've covered works on Windows and Mac. You can use a password manager, private browser, and encrypted files without changing your operating system. But if you're serious about privacy, if you want to own your computing stack, we need to talk about Linux. Let's be direct about what Windows does. Telemetry. Windows 10 and 11 send detailed information about your computer usage back to Microsoft. What programs you run, how long you use them. Crash reports, performance data, typing patterns, voice commands. This isn't speculation. It's documented in Microsoft's privacy statements. You can reduce some telemetry in settings, but you cannot eliminate it. The required diagnostics level, the lowest setting, still collects data about your device, your system configuration, and your usage patterns. And Microsoft changes what's collected with each update. Cortana and search integration. When you search from the start menu, those queries can go to Microsoft's servers. When you use Cortana, your voice data is processed in the cloud. Even if you disable Cortana, the underlying data collection infrastructure remains. Advertising ID. Windows assigns your device a unique identifier used to track you across apps and serve targeted advertising. You can reset it, but the system itself is designed for tracking. Forced updates. Microsoft controls when your computer updates. They can push changes to your system without your consent. They've used this power to install apps, change default settings, and modify system behavior. Your computer is not entirely yours. OneDrive integration. Windows constantly nudges you to store files in Microsoft's cloud. If you do, those files are accessible to Microsoft and to law enforcement with the right paperwork. The business model matters. Microsoft makes money from enterprise contracts, but also from advertising and data partnerships. Windows is not a neutral tool, it's a platform designed to extract value from you. Linux is fundamentally different because of how it's made and who controls it. Open source. Linux is built by a global community of developers. The code is public. Anyone can read it, audit it, verify what it does. There's no hidden telemetry because there's nowhere to hide it. Privacy researchers regularly audit popular Linux distributions. You're the customer. Linux distributions are typically free. The developers aren't trying to monetize your data because there's no business model that requires it. When you use Linux, the software works for you, not against you. Choice and control. Linux gives you options. Don't like something? Change it, remove it, replace it with an alternative. This isn't just possible, it's expected. The entire philosophy centers on user control. No forced updates. You decide when to update, what to update, and whether to update at all. Your system won't restart in the middle of your work or install features you didn't ask for. No advertising. No product suggestions. No reminders to upgrade to premium services. No nagging about cloud storage. Just the tools you need, working the way you configured them. Respect by default. Linux distributions don't collect your data by default. They don't track your usage patterns. They don't phone home to report on what you're doing. Privacy is the baseline, not an option you have to hunt down and enable. But Linux is too hard for regular people. This hasn't been true for over a decade. Modern Linux distributions are easier to install than Windows. They come with graphical installers, automatic driver detection, and polished desktop environments that look and feel familiar. You don't need to use the command line. You can browse the web, check email, write documents, edit photos, watch videos, all with a mouse and graphical applications. The command line is there when you want power, not required for basic use. Software installation is often easier than Windows. Most Linux distributions have app stores. Click to install. No hunting for downloads or running sketchy installers. Updates happen in the background or when you choose, all through one central system. Hardware compatibility has improved dramatically. Most laptops work out of the box. Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, trackpads, webcams, all handled automatically. Some specialized hardware or very new devices might need extra steps, but this is increasingly rare. The real barrier isn't difficulty, it's unfamiliarity. Windows feels easy because you've used it for years. Linux feels hard because it's new. Give yourself 2 weeks with Linux as your daily system, and it becomes just as natural. There are hundreds of Linux distributions, and that's actually the point. You have options. For beginners coming from Windows or Mac, several distributions stand out for their ease of use. Linux Mint feels familiar with a traditional desktop layout. Poplush OS and Ubuntu are polished and well-documented. Fedora offers cutting-edge software with stability. Any of these work great as a first Linux experience. For those who want something closer to the source, Debian is the foundation that many other distributions build on. It prioritizes stability and has been around since 1993. It's a bit more hands-on, but it's rock solid. For the adventurous, Arch Linux lets you build your system from the ground up, choosing exactly what goes in. The learning curve is steep, but you understand everything on your machine. Here's the key insight. Any Linux distribution can be hardened and customized for privacy. The base you choose matters less than how you configure it. Start with something beginner-friendly, then customize or switch as you learn what you want. The installation process is similar across distributions. Download the ISO from the official website. Create a bootable USB drive using a tool like Balina Etcher. Boot from the USB, follow the graphical installer. Most let you try the system without installing. Run it entirely from the USB to test compatibility. Software is abundant across all distributions. Firefox, LibreOffice, GIMP. The core applications work everywhere. Many apps you already use, including Brave, Signal, and Bitwarden, have identical Linux versions. Gaming has gotten remarkable. Steam works natively on Linux. Proton lets you play many Windows games without modification. Work software is the variable. If your job requires specific Windows-only software, you might need to run Windows in a virtual machine or dual boot. You don't have to switch all at once. Start with a live USB. Download a beginner-friendly distribution. Linux Mint, Ubuntu, or Fedora are all good choices. Create a bootable drive. Boot from it without installing. Spend a few hours exploring. Open applications. Browse the web. See how it feels. This commits you to nothing. Try dual boot. Install Linux alongside Windows on the same machine. When you turn on your computer, choose which to boot. Use Linux for daily tasks, Windows for the few things that require it. Over time, you'll naturally drift toward Linux as you realize how little you need Windows. Designate a Linux machine. If you have an old laptop gathering dust, install Linux on it. Use it for specific tasks, private browsing, sensitive documents, learning. Keep your main machine as is while you build familiarity. Go full Linux when ready. Once you've been dual booting for a few months and barely touch Windows, make the switch. You can always keep Windows in a virtual machine for the rare exceptions. The goal isn't ideological purity, the goal is practical sovereignty. Use the tools that serve you. For most people, Linux serves better once the initial learning curve passes. When you move to Linux, you gain more than privacy. Ownership. Your computer truly belongs to you. No one can force updates on you, uninstall your software, or change your settings remotely. You decide what runs on your machine. Longevity. Linux runs efficiently on older hardware. That laptop that's too slow for Windows 11 probably runs Linux beautifully. You're not forced to buy new hardware because Microsoft decided to drop support. Understanding. Using Linux teaches you how computers actually work. You become less dependent on technical support. You gain the confidence to solve your own problems, customize your environment, and understand what your machine is doing. Community. When you have questions, there's a global community ready to help. Forums, wikis, chat rooms full of people who've solved the same problems. This isn't corporate support with hold times and scripted responses. It's real people sharing knowledge freely. Privacy by design. Your operating system stops fighting against your privacy goals. The tools we've discussed throughout this series, encrypted files, private browsers, password managers, all work better on a system that respects you. Windows is not your friend. It's a platform designed to extract data and control from you while providing computing services as a side effect. Linux is different. It's built by people who believe you should control your own computer. It's auditable, modifiable, and respectful of your privacy by default. Pick a distribution: Linux Mint, Ubuntu, Fedora, or any that appeals to you. Download it, try it from a live USB, and see how it feels to use a computer that works for you instead of against you. Next episode, Tor Browser. Anonymous browsing, how it works, when to use it, and the common mistakes that compromise your anonymity. Until then, stay private, stay sovereign. Until then, stay private, stay sovereign. Learn more at cypherpunkschool.com. This has been Cypherpunk Notes.